that the rapture. And, you know, it's something how we'd be outside, and if this thing was real, we'd be outside and have our rapture practice time. And we have a neighbor. All of us have those neighbors are real inquisitive. They're nosy. And like Mrs. Kravitz on, what's his name, Bewitched? Yeah. And we'd be out there, and we'd be out there. And Mrs. Kravitz go looking around, what's going on? Oh, I'm getting ready to jog. You know, we try to play it off. But it's nice if we be out there under a tree or something, and you be out there, that's rapture practicing. And Miss Crabbers come out there, what you doing? Oh, my son caught something up in the tree. I'm trying to jump and get it down. But the young boys, the young guys, and like my two grand boys, they can be up there doing all this, and all of a sudden we wondering what they're doing. They're having rapture practice. This morning, we'll talk about the title. Is living this life with heaven in mind. Living this life with heaven in mind. The question is, are you ready for eternity? Because we have to be well prepared for the life to come. But the preparation must be done in advance. For example, all the special events that we had here at God's Miracle Church, we had to prepare for what we wanted our outcome to be. And a fine example, Mr. Berry, Jeff, in order to have an event and it turn out to be a success that it was, he had to prepare. In Luke 19, see, Luke, he wanted to tell us how to be ready for whatever life is right now, what to do right now for the life to come. Jesus Christ speaks to why having a future perspective is critical for your earthly life now. And one of the ways he would teach us, it was through a story. We call it through parable. See, parables are stories that the Lord told to teach a spiritual principle. So when God wanted to really drive something home, he would tell a story, a parable. And the goal of the story was to zero in on what the principle of the story is all about. So in Luke chapter 19, verse 11, it says, while we were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So we are told that the disciples thought that the kingdom was going to come right then. See, they had been waiting for a king, and they thought that since Jesus was already there now, the kingdom was going to come. But the enemies did not want him to rule over them, and he was rejected. And because he was rejected, that created a delay in the kingdom of God. So that was to be established here on earth through Jesus Christ. So Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples, both the disciples that were there then and the disciples now that were talking about the ones that were there and talking about us today, both then and now, that they were to function during this period between the king's leaving and the king's returning. During this time of rejection, he wanted to teach them how to live now in the light of his return. So, since he has not yet returned, we are in this period of time between his first coming and his second coming. Well, the story goes, the parable applies to you and me. In Matthew 25 and 14, the following, Jesus tells a similar story but with a different twist to it. Because in Matthew 25 and 14, he says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. When he tells the story, everybody got something different. They didn't get the same amount as in the story in Luke 19. So let me explain. In Luke 19:13, he says, and he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. This minas or minas is money. So he uses money to talk about something bigger than money. He is talking about life. All of us here have three of the same things. But we don't have is what he talks about in Matthew 25. The same amount of things. We have the same things, but not to the same degree of those things. The first thing that all of us have is time. Now, we don't all have the same amount of time. We're not going to live that to the same age, but we all have time because we are alive. From a kingdom point of view, because Luke 19 verses 12 says, the nobleman went away to get a kingdom. Now remember, this is a parable. The king went away to get a kingdom. The time, the kingdom perspective is a boundary in which opportunities exist. So within this thing called time, time is an opportunity because we use your time, I use my time to do things and to accomplish things. The second thing all of us have are talents. We have varying abilities. We don't have the same talents, but we all have been given the capacity to do things for the king and for his kingdom, since the parable is about the king going to get a kingdom. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all have the same thing, but we all have the same capacity to serve the king and his kingdom. The third thing that we all have in varying degrees are treasures, resources. Everybody don't make the same thing. Everybody doesn't have the same amount, but we all have some level of resources. So when he speaks about giving them all the same thing, he is talking about life. He is entrusting to them, used by the illustration, that they are to be business, or to do business until the king comes back. I'm going to entrust you with physical life. But if you are saved, I'm going to entrust you with the spiritual life. And during this time between your conversation, conversion, your trip to heaven, you are to be a businesswoman or a businessman. Remember, he said, do business until he comes. He is talking about kingdom business because the master went to get a kingdom. So the king entrusted time, talents, and treasures, represented by the word minas, in order to do business until he come. Don't miss this. You are supposed to do business. A lot of people are asking God to do business that he is waiting for us to get done. Any time in history that he wants to use means he must borrow that time from us. Any talent in history that he wants to use means that he must borrow that talent from you. Any treasure he wants to use in history means that he must borrow that treasure from you. That is why in the Bible it says he must find a person, pick a person, and use a person, because he has entrusted with a person's minus the time, the talent, and the treasures for what he wants to get done in his absence until he comes back. And he is banking on us. He's banking on you and me because of what he left behind to us. Now, he said, you are to do business until a nobleman in the story, the king returns. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, he says this, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9 says, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. In verses 8 and 9, he says, you are saved for free by grace. But in verse 10, even though you are saved for free by grace, once you are saved for work. Amen. You are saved to accomplish something for God. Amen. He calls it good works. Good works are things you do for God's glory, to advance God's kingdom, that benefit others in God's name. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So God did not save you and leave you here with a certain amount of time, with talents and treasures, to forget all about him. In fact, he left you here, the reason he didn't take you to heaven the moment you were saved was because there was a work he expected you and me to do, and he calls that work business. God left us here to do business for him, to advance his kingdom, and to give his name all the glory, honor, and praise. And you and I are stewards of what he hath left with while we live here since salvation. And the job of the steward is to protect and expand the access, the assets of another. So God is expecting that your lifetime, talents, treasures will protect and expand his kingdom purposes. So what happens? In Luke 19, chapter 19, verse 14, he is rejected. And therefore he is absent right now. And in verse 15, he says, when he returns, he did come back in the story because that's a parable. He hadn't come back yet. God hasn't made his presence. Jesus hadn't come back yet in our history. But he comes back in the story. After receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. He called it, we call this thing accountability. The nobleman, Jesus returns, and all those who are his followers are called to him. And the question is, what did you do with the time, the talents, and treasures that I left you with during my absence, that I told you to do business for me while I was gone? The question on that day was not, did you do business for you? It was, what did you do with what was mine and I loaned to you? While the King Jesus was gone, he has left everyone in this room who has accepted Jesus Christ a remaining amount of time, spiritually endowed talent, and a certain amount of resources, but all the same category, and he says, do business. Then he returned, and he wanted to know, what kind of business did you do? We are his disciples today. He left us with time, talents, and treasures. And we, God, when he comes back, he's going to gather us up together and says, I want to know, what did you do with your time, your talent, and your treasures that I left, that was mine, that I left for you to do business on my behalf? This is called in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the judgment seat of Christ. When he will evaluate and ask, what kind of business did you do for me and an advancement of my kingdom that benefited others for which I got the glory? Verse 16, he says, the first appeared, saying, Master, your minas has made 10 minas more. Verse 17, he said, Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are going to be authority over 10 cities. That was 100% return on what the nobleman had left, this man. Verse 18, the second came, saying, Your mina, master, has made 5 minas. Verse 19, and he said to him, Also, and you are to be over 5 cities. That was a 50% profit. But notice what the master did not say to him. He didn't like what he said to the first person. He told the first person, Well done. The second one, he did not say, Well done. See, the first guy maximized the opportunity. The second guy was half-stepping. In other words, he could have done a lot more. But so he did not get the well done. He did not get the accolades that the first person got. He was like a person on a job that does over and above what he was called to do and being rewarded for a job well done. The second guy just doing enough to get by, not putting out his best efforts. But he does get recognition for what he did do. So he was over five cities. There is accountability to what was left them. And the reason why there was accountability, because it wasn't their meanness. They were slaves and servants. They belonged to the master. The moment you lose sight that you belong to the master, the moment you lose sight that everything you have belongs to the master, you are not going to have everything to show or anything to show, because you are going to use it all for yourself, because you have become your own master. Verse 20, another came saying, Master. Now, this third guy, he was talking right. He recognized Christ, the nobleman, is still being the master. So he says, Master. So he is taking a committed follower. He says, Master, here are your minas, which I put away in a handkerchief. Verse 21 says, For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you didn't lay down. You reap what you did not sow. In other words, you are hard to please. You have a high expectations. I can't deal with that. You are just too serious, and I didn't want to run the risk of losing your minus. So I didn't do anything with it. This man did nothing with the time, talents, and treasures that the king left him, except give back what he was given. Verse 22. By your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Verse 23. Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have at least drawn some interest. You worthless slave. Your theology has not affected your activity, and that has made you worthless in the kingdom. You have no value to me. I left you here with a certain amount of time. I left you here with a certain amount of talent. I left you here with a certain amount of treasure. I left you here for my kingdom. I come back, and you're talking about, I came to church. My theology has not affected you at all, and you still call me master. I still don't get any of your time. I still don't get any of your talents, and I still don't get any of your menial use of your treasure. So you got the right theology, and you have a worthless Christian. A Christian that's not doing anything with their time, their talents, and their treasures that God blessed them with, and didn't do anything, God says you're worthless. You didn't do anything for the advancement of his kingdom. You didn't do anything to help anybody else, to glorify his name. The Bible speaks of a hundredfold repayment for everyone who is here today. And you are living the best Christian life you know how. You are giving your time, you are giving your talent, and you are giving your treasures for the kingdom of God. And it has not been fair to you. So guess what God says? See, we're here, we're thinking just because we're doing all this, we're doing everything for God. Doesn't mean that God, we're not seeing the proceeds from it right now. That's why our faith come in. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to see that he takes care of you, all your wants and your needs according to his riches and glory. We keep on doing the best that we know how for Jesus and the benefit of helping others. And in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 11, he says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Verse 12, he says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, what really happened to this third man? Luke 19:24. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one that has 10 minas. See, a lot of we got to get this understanding from God. See, we don't get credit for just being a servant. You are saved by grace. You don't get credit for that. That's all of God. You don't get credit for being a Christian. You get credit for serving the master and using the time and using the talents and using the treasures that he has entrusted you with for his glory and advancement of his kingdom, for benefit of others to his glory. This is what he credits. Who in here just can't stand a vegetable that you, what don't you like? Brussels sprouts. This man doesn't like Brussels sprouts. And I didn't know that, and I made you eat Brussels sprouts. Suppose, now you're grown up now, you're a man. Suppose I tell you, I says, Jay, Jano, I will make a deal with you. And you said, okay, I make a deal. What is the deal? He said, for 1 year, if you eat or add Brussels sprouts to your meal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you do that every day for 1 year, I will pay every debt you have for as long as you live. You will... You will never look at that vegetable for the same way ever again. Matter of fact, you'll come to love that vegetable. You will never look at Brussels sprouts? You will never look at Brussels sprouts the same way again. Why? Because the reward for the inconvenience is so much greater. What God says, if I can get you to see the eternal perspective, the reward for the inconvenience is going to be so much greater if you live life with heaven in mind. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for giving us clarity, giving me clarity.